Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. This is Damon. I got Kyle with me, and we have two very, very, I'm so excited, special guests. One, we're welcoming back Steph Hino. Welcome back, Steph.
Hello, everyone.
And we would like to actually formally introduce a very special guest, someone that we talked about on the podcast last week and actually gave the sermon at church on Sunday, but we wanted to bring her to the podcast, and she very graciously said yes. So welcome to the show, Laura Griffiths. Welcome, Laura.
Thank you.
Yeah, like I said, we're so excited.
Yeah, no, it's awesome to have you. This is a technology episode because Laura is on the phone joining in. So she called into our episode. And so, yeah, for those of you that, hey, I can't be on there, I can't come down there. Hey, we have ways around that. So just be careful. But, Damon just pointed at me. All right. So, Laura, it was really, really special to have you with us. So, I got to meet you on, Wednesday?
Thursday.
It was Thursday for the dinner. Thursday, and then spent time with you on Friday, drove you a short distance and had some cool conversations with you on Saturday, and then listened to your awesome message on Sunday.
Actually, on Thursday night, my wife was a little bit upset with me because I got home a little bit late because I was waiting because I wanted to introduce myself to Laura, but she had so many people talking to her. And I every time I look over, she'd have a new person. I was like, oh, man, when's my turn? When's my turn? So it was just an awesome time for us to get to know and get to spend some time with you this weekend. And, yeah, sad to see you go, but we're excited that you're going to come back for the retreat.
Yeah, so, I'm excited, too. In fact, I was feeling a little sad this morning when I woke up, you know, like I'm happy to be home. I love my family and, but just feeling a little sad to be apart from you guys. I miss you already.
Yeah. I was just going to say that I really just basically introduced myself, said hi to you on Thursday. And then when I took you in the car ride for, I don't know, maybe 10 minutes, we had a conversation and I felt like we knew each other for a long time. Mm. And it was very,
for sure,
it was very cool to see how you really connect with our church, and we're very like-minded and very similar in spirit. So I wanted to just start off by asking you, what were some observations that you came away with of Catalyst, and what you see in us and what you see in our people? Because I think sometimes, you know, we get so used to just being around each other and then having an outside person like speak into like, oh, this, you guys are this and that. And we sometimes take that for granted. So if you don't mind, could you pump us up a little bit?
For sure. In fact, that's super easy to do because I've been reflecting on my time with you and just the things that I did see. Honestly, I've been just kind of replaying that and spending time this morning with the Holy Spirit. And we don't see each other the way that the Lord sees us. And I think when I look at you, the Holy Spirit was showing me who you are. And I'm sure, you know, there's warts and, you know, stuff, but I just saw you all as beautiful. Mm. And, the Holy Spirit, you know, that's what he does. You know, it's like in my message, you know, talking about Dean, seeing me as who I was, and even, you know, even recognizing anointing in my life that I didn't even recognize, like I had no idea that was there. And so, you know, perhaps I believe that's what I'm seeing in you guys. And I think one of the things this morning, as I was kind of reflecting on our time together and who you are, and there's just, I mean, seriously, a fire burning in me over who you are and what you're going to do. Catalyst community. I mean, like that describes you absolutely perfect because you really are a community. You're like, a better word for that would be a family, the family of God. And I feel like, you know, he places the lonely in a family. He places the broken in a family. And you guys are just perfect at like loving people and accepting people. And it's just great. And I just feel like because of that, he is going to draw the people that are out there that need a family, that need a home. They're going to come in and see the love of God in your community and be drawn to that, because that's exactly where the world is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, you can look at what's going on in the world and you can be, oh Lord, what are you doing? This is all horrible. Mm. And there is a lot of horrible things happening, but you know, God is so much smarter than we are. And thankfully, and He knows that that is He's not doing it. Don't get me wrong. Don't take that out of what I'm saying. There's evil in the world, but God will take that and use it in people's lives to draw them to the kingdom. Mm. It will be what draws them. They need hope. They need love. They need community. Mm. I think I said on Sunday, we're in us, God has created the need to be loved, to belong, and to be needed. Mm. And you guys feel all of that. And I have that. I talked about how many, you're the catalyst, that tiny little part, you know, that ignites something.
Yeah.
And there's 400 and something thousand in Long Beach. Mm-hmm. And then there were 12 million in the Los Angeles greater metropolitan area. And I mean, I don't know if you're going to take the whole metropolitan area, but I think you're taking a bigger chunk than just Los Angeles. Like, that's the faith that I have.
Mm. Wow. Thank
you.
So
that's who you are. That's who you are. Grasp it.
Well, I just appreciate that you called that out, because that's one of the values of our church is family. So, and we feel like that is a special thing that God has given to us. So thank you for the way you spoke into that. I appreciate it.
Yeah. I was just, so excited that everyone finally got to meet you, Laura, and like finally just see what I've been hyping everyone up about. And like, I know, because yeah, I mean, it was just so good to spend time with you again and just, you know, just reconnect. And also just, yeah, it was a cool clashing of my worlds, colliding of my two worlds, because I feel like Bethel felt like a lifetime ago and you said something to me that really blessed me this weekend. And it was just, you know, like, I think you said it in the car or maybe at dinner or something, but you said, you know, you said, Steph, you served me, you know, however many years, like what, 3-4 years. And she's like, and now I get to serve you.
Mm.
And like, that just meant so much to me. And it just speaks to just the cool ways that God works. Like it's this whole thing, this whole weekend, and just this connection and this relationship between you and our church now, it just feels like, so it's God. Like there's really there's no other way to explain it.
It's a divine setup, huh?
Yes.
Yeah.
The best kind.
Yeah. God has definitely set us up. And you know, Laura, when you were speaking up there and you were showing some of the testimonies of all the kids and the things that you did when you were leading your ministry, I was just getting so, so excited about what's to come for our kids and our families. And really one of the things that we talk about at our church is how the ceiling of our parents is really the floor for our kids.
Right.
And
yes,
where we go as parents, that's like the foundation for where our kids are going. And so really when you were speaking, what I felt like was impressed on me by the Spirit was really the foundation that you laid is really where Steph's starting point is as a children's ministry leader at our church. And God has really set us up to do some amazing things. Like you said, to be a catalyst in our area with what our kids and our families are going to be able to do because of what you have already laid the foundation for in Steph. And I told this to her when she first came on staff, was that I really felt like she's the right person for the job. And even more so this weekend, I was like, wow, Lord, thank you so much for bringing Steph, and for her to have come under your mentorship and your leadership has just been really like, whoa, the Lord is going to be doing so much in our church. And it's just such an exciting time, I feel like.
Yeah.
It is. You guys are made for great things.
Thank you. Hey, so I actually want to pull up something or pull from something that you shared with me after the service on Sunday. You had a little bit of a rough night, right? You weren't feeling well. But then I thought it was really interesting. You shared about the voice that you heard in your head and what was being told you. And it really was actually, you could have just inserted that into your message because you did that same type of thing. But I thought, oh, I think it would be really cool for our church to be able to hear even how you process that and how you fought through that morning and how that was even connected to what you shared about not wanting to get up on stage and preach, you know, years ago and all of that. Would you mind doing that for us?
Yeah. Yeah, no, not at all. So I didn't mention that I had gotten sick in the middle of the night. And I did it on purpose. I really felt like I wasn't supposed to. Mm. I didn't want that to be the focus of anything. I didn't want anybody, you know, feeling sorry or, you know, like I just didn't want to do that. And I really was feeling like I was getting over it, but I hadn't been sick in, gosh, other than like COVID, maybe one other time. I hadn't been sick in 5 years, maybe twice. I don't know why, but I had not been sick. And so I woke up in the middle of the night feeling feverish, and it felt like I was getting a cold, and didn't feel good. And you're asleep and kind of groggy. That's not always the best time to hear well. And I fell back into old patterns is what I did. And I fell back into the default of, I can't do this. And finding an excuse out. I talked in my message, for those that have heard that, about running into the bathroom to avoid having to prophesy over anyone. And so the enemy knows us. The Lord knows us, obviously, very well. He created us, but the enemy knows us too. And so he knows how to lie to us, to get us to not do what the Lord wants us to do. And so in my case, it's, you know, getting out of things, you know, like what's a good way, a good sounding way to get out of things. Like, how do I sound holy and still get out of it? And,
I love that.
You know, so real.
I know.
I think a lot of people can relate to that.
I'm telling you, you're probably, if you listen to this, you're like raising your hand right now. Yeah. And so, we all do it. And so I started doing that, you know, just in my weakness right that moment, both tired and sick. And so I'm thinking, okay, my first thought was, I'm going to disappoint everyone. Here I've come down here all this way. Steph will be disappointed. Pastor Barry will be disappointed. Mm. And then I moved on in my head to, but wait, Dean can do this. Dean is here. Mm. I can back out and somebody else will do this. And not only will I get out of not having to preach and stand on stage, it'll all just be really good, you know? And then I hear my loving Father's voice in my head, the one who knows me well, who loves me. And what I hear is, get up out of that grave, get up out of that bed. And you were made to do this. You were born to do this. This is a divine appointment. You're forgetting right now who I am, and you're thinking about who you are. And that's probably a little bit more than what I shared with Kyle. But that's honestly what was going on inside me. And I thought, no, I am not doing this. My God provided for my healing. The blood of Jesus covers me, and I am able to do this, and I will not default to fear and run from the good things that he has for me.
So good. When you were sharing that, I'm like, I really appreciate you saying like, oh, I didn't want to share that because I didn't want it to be a distraction. And I really resonate with that too. But when you shared it with me, I'm like, oh man, that would have been so good in your message that people, this is my message. And I actually dealt with it this morning. Like I'm actually fighting through it as we speak, but I'm glad you have this opportunity to share it right now. Cause I thought that was so powerful. Yeah. Like, wow, like you're, it wasn't just 12 years ago. It's like, oh, you're doing it right now. So thank you.
Yeah. And it's, I think it's a continual thing too.
Yes.
And just think, I just got to say, if I'd shared all of that, just think how much longer the message would have been.
So funny.
That's so good. Yeah. I love to just, it's so relatable. Like, when we were laughing about like, okay, like what's my excuse, but how do I make it sound holy? Right. Like, oh my God, like so real. Whether
I was discerning and I'm actually,
the Lord's, I really feel like, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Although if you did say Dean should do it, I'm pretty sure he'd say, no, Laura, I think you're supposed to do it.
1,000%.
Oh my goodness. He would have, wouldn't he? He would have come over there and told me, get up out of my grave.
Like, get his up little, out of like, bed, smirk. Laura. Yeah.
Yes.
Sure.
I think it's a caution. As I actually, I feel like just now, the Holy Spirit kind of dropped this in my heart and mind that isn't an accident, Kyle, that you asked me just to talk about this, because I feel like there's a real caution here as you move forward, that you're not doing what I did, you know, that you learn to recognize those defaults, the lies that the enemy speaks to you that keep you from moving forward, because that is his plan. Mm-hmm. If you think he wants you going out into Long Beach or your neighborhoods or anywhere, he does not. And he'll stop you with some very good sounding lies. Mm-hmm. And you've got to be so close with the Holy Spirit, like I talked about on Sunday, that you reckon, you know, my sheep hear my voice. My sheep know my voice. So you need to know the voices that you're listening to and be able to know where the lies are, you know?
So true.
Yeah, I think one thing that stands out in your story is that you recognize those lies and you continue to sit until you heard the Lord's voice tell you the truth.
Yeah.
Because I think sometimes what happens to a lot of people is they hear those lies and then they're like, oh, I hear all this. Then they start moving and they make steps towards getting out of it. Right. It's like, oh, I got to get rid of this early instead of sitting in it long enough to hear the Lord's voice, to hear him say the truth to you. And I thought that was really cool about your story.
Yeah, that's really good, Damon. That's a really good point, because we do have to sit with things and wait upon the Lord. And I think that, it's getting to recognize his voice. And then, I mean, even just asking a simple question, what's your truth, Lord? Mm. And go back to the word, you know, the word is truth and it's life and it brings light. And so, just asking questions. He's not afraid of our weakness and he's not afraid of us asking questions. And, you know, we don't have to pretend to be holy with him either. You know, we get to say, I don't know, God, what's going on? What's the truth?
Yeah, I'll share a quick story that I think was pretty cool that happened last night and this morning. So last night I put the kids all to bed and then I hear a knock on the door, but I thought it was on the wall. So I thought one of my kids was like banging on the wall or something, because that happens at night. And then one of my kids comes over to our room and says, hey, did someone knock on the door? I think someone knocked on the door. So we have a Ring camera, so I checked our Rings, like, oh, shoot, it's the police. I better go open the door. So I go open the door. Oh, no. Police come out. They're like, oh, is everything okay? Someone said that they heard someone asking for help or screaming for help or something. We don't know which house it was from. We just want to make sure, just doing a well check on everyone. We're like, yeah, we're good. So put everybody back to bed. I go to my room. Kid comes over again, says, oh, Daddy, I want to share something with you. And I was like, what happened? She goes, I was a little scared after the police came. I didn't know what to do. I was getting afraid. So I opened my Bible and I opened to this verse and it says, the Lord is my protector. I don't need to fear. And I was like, oh, that's really good. Like the Lord pointed you directly to that verse. She goes, yeah. So I'm not afraid anymore. I just wanted to share that with you. And then she went to bed. But I really feel like that really points out what you're talking about, where she was able to go directly to the truth and that changed how she was feeling about the whole thing. So, yeah.
That's great. That seriously introduced me to your daughter when I'm there.
Yeah, it's not the daughter that I introduced you to. It's the other one. So I'll definitely introduce you again when we we see you at the retreat.
I think what touched me too, I've wrestled in the past with the enemy continuing to use like the same method of attack, right? So I wrestled with fear growing up, different types of fear, fear of man, fear of being wrong, fear of all these different things. And I've dealt with a lot and I've had a lot of victory over them. Yet that's still the main pathway. So I've wrestled with like, well, then did I not do it right? Did I not do it? And even hearing your testimony and sharing, it's like, you're getting ready to speak again and the enemy went right back to the same method and he put the same lies in your head. And it just reminded me like, oh no, he knows that, he knows where the weakness is, so to speak. And I've dealt with it, but that's still like the avenue of where he knows he can get to me. And so I thought it was really, okay, so this might sound weird. It was assuring that you had the same attack again. It's like, oh yeah, see, we all have our avenues, right? Mm-hmm. And we can deal with them and we can shore them up. Yeah, we're always still going to have certain things that are going to be those weak spots. And to me, it was a reminder like, oh yeah, I got to be on guard of when I sense fear, when I feel it like trying to come on me. Oh, there's something going on that's not natural because I've dealt with that. So what is it? And then to dig deeper and like you said, go to the truth. So yeah, thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, and it was it was neat too because, I think, was it Thursday or no, Wednesday night when I picked you up, you kind of inadvertently shared what you were going to be speaking about on Sunday. So just in our conversations, it just started coming out and it was so good. And I was like, yes, like we need this. This is what our church needs to hear. And I was so excited. So when I saw your text that morning, Sunday morning, you're like, can you bring Tylenol? Like, you know, I'm not feeling well. Like, this is so crazy. Like, I got really excited because I knew. I'm like, oh, the enemy does not want us to get this message because I had heard most of it. And I knew the value of it in the spirit. And so I was like, oh, this is going to be good. Yeah. Like, you know, obviously. And then I was like, and then I texted the staff. I'm like, we got to pray. Yes.
No, when I got your text, I thought the same thing. Because you didn't tell me what it was, but you said, oh, I heard what Laura's going to be sharing on Sunday. It's going to be so good. Mm-hmm. And so that was the first thought that popped in my head. Like, oh, the enemy doesn't want that out. Yeah. Like, okay, let's start praying right now.
Yeah, for sure.
I thought one of the other cool things about Sunday morning was just one of the themes of this weekend, because you were here for the whole weekend with us and we were meeting with some of the leadership and that's why Dean was here too. But one of the themes was how sometimes the Lord wants to break down our flesh so that we can step into our spirit. And so your message was on the long side for our church. I'm not going to lie. It was on the long side. But what I felt like the picture that I got afterwards was, after you released everybody, or I think Pastor Barry might have released everyone to go get the kids, that's an opportunity. And I think in the past, a lot of people would have left. But afterwards, coming back in, a lot of the people came back in after they got their kids. A lot of the kids were in there and they were praying for people in the ministry time. I felt like, wow, this is an amazing picture of what happens when people are stepping into the spirit and moving by their spirit. And it was just like this amazing picture of like our whole church family ministering to each other. It was just awesome. So thank you for stepping into that and going long on purpose to help us to break down our flesh so that we could respond with our spirit.
I actually didn't even realize that I had lost all track of time, which is really interesting because, I told you guys on Sunday, I've been stalking you. I was being kind of funny, but I've been listening to all the messages for a good 2 months. So I've been listening to them and I looked through them and I would write down like, okay, that one was 45 minutes. That one was 48 minutes. I was actually paying attention to that because honor's a big deal to me. Mm-hmm. Like I'm Steph can tell you, I mean, like I drilled that into the kids. Like it's a big deal because I know what it does in the spirit. And so it's a big deal to me that I honored you guys and I didn't speak longer. So I purposely looked at the time. You know, I can tell you now what time it was. It was 10:40. It was 10:40 when I looked at my iPad with the time. And I, you know what? I had those intercessors praying. You can talk to them. Like, they weren't praying. And but I'm telling you, my mind went completely blank. I went to, like, when I asked that question, like, oh, where am I? You know, I was so blank, I can't even tell you. Like, I didn't even know what to do. And, like, nobody was speaking up because you're all so quiet. and I, you know what? I just thought, okay, well, I just need to finish. I don't know what else to do because I don't know what time it is. It's like my mind was blank. It was weird. I had no recognition of what time it was or couldn't remember what time I started.
Well, see, no, that's because the intercessors were praying for you, and the Spirit said, stop thinking about time. Don't think about time. I got this. Don't worry.
Nice.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, that's probably true. That's probably true. And I did feel bad. I apologized to Pastor Barry and everybody else I could apologize to. Like, I'm so sorry.
No, I think it was perfect. I think it was perfect.
Yeah, it was really good. So encouraging. And I think I got, you know, people were coming up to me even. They're like, oh my gosh, like, thank you so much for bringing Laura, like, or just connecting you to our church. And, you know, people even just outside of my volunteer team or people I don't even really talk to, but they were just like, wow, like, that was really encouraging and amazing to see. Just, I think they were encouraged by the stories that you, and the examples and the pictures, and because I think that's just so beyond, I think, our box and what we're used to just expecting from kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that was really good.
It's the testimony of Jesus. It's the spirit of prophecy. Yes. And I feel like too, Steph, I feel like now, just now I realized, I didn't before, but I just now had the realization that because I did that now, when you do things, you're going to have, you're going to have more deposited in your bank that you can spend that they're going to understand. You know what I'm saying? Like you're going to be able to immediately go farther. Like Damon was saying, you know, the floor, but they saw the floor, you know? So now they're going to get when all of those dreams that were talked about, you know, through the weekend, all of you are going to be able to, now I feel like, because I did share those stories, that you are going to be able to, like, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Because they heard them. And that was my point in sharing them. It wasn't that, and you guys know me well enough now to know that I wasn't broadcasting about how great I was or anything, but my point was that you would see what's possible and then go further than that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I that's what I was going to say. I thought it was so great that you ended with all those testimonies and with the photos, because I think there's a lot of people in there, the ones that have kids, it's challenging to be like, oh, wow, I don't view my kids like that. The ones that don't have kids, well, how come I'm not like that? Or the ones that have older kids, like, I need to step into that more. So I think it was perfect. I think, and like Damon said, by that point, you know, the flesh is worn down a little bit. Like, oh my gosh, it's going right to their spirit. Like, oh, we need more of this as a church. And so I totally agree that you're going to have some extra capital to work with, Steph, that people are, okay, yes, we need to pour into this. And what can I do? How can I help you?
I'll take it.
I was also joking with Kyle afterwards too at the retreat. Cause sometimes
you never joke with me. What are you talking about?
Well, okay. I was telling Kyle that, sometimes at retreat, the sessions go long, and I was like, this time we don't got to worry about it. Laura's got taken care of.
Oh, yeah. I already warned her. I said, you know, oh, the night went, and she's like, I don't care. I could, you know, I can entertain kids for however long. She's like, I got my Mary Poppins style, right? Yeah. Holy Spirit bag. Like,
that's awesome.
Yeah, she said, I have no worries at all.
Yeah, see, so we might tell Pastor Sam he needs to go extra long just so that our kids get more from you.
So no. Wouldn't it be funny if the parents come and pick up the kids and we're still moving in the Holy Spirit?
That would be awesome.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
No, and I think
that's my plan.
And they say, no, sorry, Mom and Dad, we're not done yet.
Yeah.
Come back
Can
in
you
an
come
hour.
Come back later. Yeah, I need to finish. No, so another thing that really stood out to me when you were sharing, and I think this is what I've been trying to, like, communicate to people, but I haven't. I finally came together in my head, and it's when God gives you or any of us like a dream or a vision for what, you know, we're going to go after. Mm-hmm. It's like this bar is set. And one thing I know about you, Laura, is you never lower the bar. Mm. And that's the part that you will do everything you can to empower and to encourage and to call the kids up higher to get them over the bar, but you never lower the bar. Mm. And it's like this kind of like this kingdom excellence, mm-hmm. and right, it's honor, and it's this thing that's like we're not moving it, but we know that with the Holy Spirit, you can get there. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's what's so empowering, I think. And that also is the part that kind of makes you a little bit scary, because you're like, oh, like, shoot, she's not going to lower it for me. Like, I got to actually do work.
No.
And I got to rise up and I got to step up and get and rely on God to get there. And so I love that about, and I feel like that really came through too, mm-hmm. in just in the testimonies and, you know, like those, we stood out there with those kids on the steps for an hour, right? We didn't shorten it just because they're 10, 11 year olds.
Mm-hmm. That's like, right.
We trained them. We, you know, gave them that vision and like the target to pray and the heart behind it. And they stepped into that. Like, that's just one example. And it can look so many different ways. And I'm so glad that we got to hear just a handful of those from you this Sunday.
Yeah. I know we were talking in the car on the way home, and I started remembering other things. You know, I was telling you that story about the kids in Singapore that got called to raise the guy back to life. And I should have shared that one,
It
was like, that one's like, powerful, but I don't know how much time we have, but I'll share it real quick if we've got time.
Yes. Do it. We want to hear it.
Okay. So it was so funny. I mean, you know, I'm going to be 70 this year, and I've been in children's ministries for over 40 years, but one of the trips was to Singapore, and we went in and trained the kids on healing, and you know, one of the sessions was praying for healing, and raising the dead always comes up because, like Steph said, you know, I'm not lowering the bar. Like, you know, I want to train the kids to raise the dead. Jesus said we're going to do greater works than he did. So raising the dead is not even in the greater works. You know, he did that. There's something greater. So we trained them, and then we left, and then their children's pastor got a hold of us after we got back. It was just like a week later. This Uncle George, I don't know how old Uncle George was, but it's Singapore, so everybody's auntie and uncle. Mm-hmm. And so Uncle George had passed away in their church, and she called the pastor and wanted someone to come and pray that he would be raised from the dead. And the pastor said, okay, I'll get over there as soon as I can. It was long enough that he was already in the funeral home in a casket. Mm-hmm. But the lady said, no, I don't want you, pastor. I want the kids team. I want a kids team to come. And so Steph, so get prepared. So hopefully they call you before he's in the casket in the funeral home. But you're going to be amazed at where this story goes. Not right where you think it's going to go. So anyway, she gets a team together of four or five kids, you know, with her heart was probably pounding really loud. You know, she's just like, great move of faith, and takes the kids over there, and they go into where the body is, and the kids are in there, and they're praying and singing and laying hands on the body and just praying with like everything in them. They were there for about 30 minutes and nothing happened. And so the children's pastor was a little bit concerned, you know, like, are the kids, are they disappointed? Are they not going to believe in God? You know, all these things are running through your head, the lies, you know. Mm-hmm. So she gets them all together because she's their pastor and wants to make sure their hearts are okay. Mm. And she's like, so how is everybody? Are you doing okay? You know, Uncle George didn't come back to life. And they were like, No, we're fine. That was just our first time. It's going to happen next time we pray.
Love it so much.
So they were like, it's that plaque. It's, in fact, it's on my wall in the room I'm sitting in, Steph, that you made me. Mm. Glory to glory. It'll be better next time.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
So just, it tells you how kids are. No, they didn't mind, you know, they would have probably preferred that, but they were like, no, we're just going to keep doing it. We're just going to keep trying. We're going to keep praying.
Mm. I love that. So good.
Wow, the persistence of the kids. I mean, I've actually introduced at a conference that I was doing, leading a workshop, you know, listening to prayer and healing prayer and things like that. And one of the comments that I had afterwards, this is from a leader, and he was like, well, what if we try to teach the kids and it doesn't happen? What do we do then? Mm. Are they going to not believe in God because he didn't do anything? So maybe we shouldn't teach this at all because, you know, we don't want them to not get something and then that's going to hurt their faith. So I just really like your story, just really encourages me in that, just to see the kids in a different way. Like, that's such a negative view of the kids, right? It's just like, oh, their faith is going to get ruined because they get denied one time. It's like, have we lowered the bar that much on our kids?
Yeah.
Their expectation is so low.
That's really good, Damon. That's really common. I can't even tell you how many, I lost track of how many times I actually heard that. And doesn't that sound like my story I told about hiding in the bathroom?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't want to prophesy over someone because they'll be disappointed and they won't believe in God when I don't get a word. Mm. It's the same lie.
Yeah.
So speaking of keeping the bar high and walking in your authority, during or after service on Sunday, you share, maybe this was actually before, but you'd shared with me a story about you walking in your authority and some of the young people were on their phones and you kind of just stood by them and they all of a sudden put them away. Can you share a little bit about that story?
I think
it'd be good for poor people to hear.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it actually came from, you know, being at Bethel, and Bethel's not any different than your church. It's just bigger. Mm. And so, you know, we've got kids that are goofing off during worship and poking each other and talking and, you know, like, it's just, they're kids. It's a normal place. And, you know, it's, I think I've told Steph this, and I'll kind of share this now. I don't know that I had any huge secrets when I started this. I just would listen to the Holy Spirit about what I should do. Because you can do things in your own mind, and I could have gone up to these kids and corrected them. Now, obviously that wouldn't have happened in your church, but I'm talking about my church. Mm-hmm. So I could have gone up and corrected them and scolded them. And, you know, there's a variety of things I could have done, separated them, you know, you could go on and on. But I really felt from the Holy Spirit that who I am and the anointing that I carry and the presence of God that resides in me and on me is more powerful. Mm. So I would go whenever I saw a group of kids, you know, goofing off and poking and talking and the things that they do. I would just go stand behind them and worship with everything in me. Mm. Just stand there and worship. And it's amazing. They completely stop and they start worshiping. Like, I think they recognize who I am. Steph would probably testify to that. I was probably, you know, shaking her head and she's like, yep. but it really is about knowing your authority, anointing, and you know, like, if those kids, Damon, young people, they were young people, they weren't kids. If they had not stopped and it didn't matter, I was still going to worship. Mm-hmm. You know, you can, this is the thing that I learned. This is from Danny Silk. He's taught me a lot, but on a good day, you can control yourself, but you can never control other people. Mm-hmm. And so if they had not stopped, I can't control them and I can get worked up about what they're doing, but I'm never going to control them. When I get worked up about what they're doing, that doesn't change anything. Now that's different than, you know, I need to keep control of the service as a leader, you know, in a kids ministry, but, in like a church service, I can't control whether someone's looking on their phone, talking, not worshiping, whatever they're doing. I can't control that. I can only control me. Mm. And I feel like radical praise and worship changes the atmosphere. And I'm going to change the atmosphere around me. And if enough people step into that, it spreads and it ignites in the room, you know? So, yeah, that's kind of the way I roll.
Yeah, I love that. And I love how you're talking about stepping into your God-given authority and then also praising and worshiping with all you have, because I think that's been one of the comments that we've had with some of the volunteers in our kids ministry is, how do we discipline other people's kids, right? But then I think a lot of times it's because they don't know the authority that they are able to walk in, right? And so you declaring that I have this authority that I can walk in and I'm going to give my whole self to the Lord, that just gives them an image of like, oh, she's doing that. I can call myself up to that level too, because you've kept the bar high and you've, you know, set that standard. And yeah, just, I love that story.
I think it pairs too with, I don't know if probably everybody doesn't know this, Steph does. I'm a Love and Logic parenting educator as well. Bona fide card carrying, not just I trained myself, but I actually got trained. And so, and I've done it for a lot of years and I used a lot of those principles in children's ministries as well. And so I think that Steph will recognize me saying this, it's carrying that deep love and empathy for those kids. And so that when you're speaking to them, it's calling them up to the place that God has called them to be and speaking life over them, speaking prophetically, you know, calling out that gold, we call it. And when you do it that way, instead of, you know, stop that, sit down, you're disrupting things, you're, you know, doing whatever, when you tell them who they are instead of tell them who they're not, then you get a different response from them.
Yeah. So good.
All right. I'm actually getting a better sense of the scary Laura now. I love it. I love that. Cause there's that, it's the awe, like the reverence that you carry, then that transfers to other people. I love that.
It's awesome. Yeah. I used to always use Laura as my, like, what do you call it? Like, so I was a leader at this, like, we had a children's tent revival camp. So right, I had a cabin of girls and these cabins were pretty janky. Like the screens were basically not screens. So it was like bugs are flying in, right? And then none of the girls want to go to sleep because they're like, I don't want to like sleep with all these bugs and like, I don't want to turn out the light. And I'm like, okay, well, lights are supposed to be out in 5 minutes.
And the lights attract the bugs. So if you don't want the bugs, you should turn the lights out.
But with 10, 11-year-old girls, right, they're just, they were just so grossed out. And I'm not going to lie, I was grossed out too. Like, I didn't want to sleep there either. But Laura gave us permission, all of the leaders. She's like, use my name. Like, I don't care, right? Because she has this authority and this respect from all the kids who know her. And so I said, I pulled out a Laura card. I played it and it worked. I said, okay, well, do you want to sleep in here in the cabin? I said, or I can text Laura and you can go sleep on the floor in her room. I said, what do you want to do? And they're like, we want to sleep in here. Said, awesome. Like, let's do it. Turned off the lights and it was like, that was that.
Yeah.
And I was like, just, you know, like so thankful that Laura, like, right. She puts in the care and the love and the honor, right? That she has that like reputation of someone that like, oh, she believes in me so much that like, I got to step up. I got to be what she, you know, and she calls that out in them. And also like, oh, like it was also good because they believed me that I would do it too. So I said, okay, like at least I have enough, right? they're not going to call my bluff.
Yeah.
But I did have my phone. I was like, I could text her right now. I have her. I have my phone out. Like, but yeah. So I got to ride on her coattails in that sense. So that was always fun to do.
So
it always worked.
So get your coattails growing, Steph. Let's go. We're all going to ride on yours now.
That was perfect love and logic as well. Choices. Mm-hmm. You let them make the choice.
Yep.
And they didn't choose to call me. There was, you know, maybe a little fear of Laura, but I think most of it was they knew they just didn't want to disturb me. They didn't want to something like that. You know, they loved me. They loved me and cared about me enough that they didn't want to wake me up and, like, you know, disturb me.
Right. Yeah. And all the kids, like, loved you, Laura, so much. Like, and that was the thing too. Mm. Like, right, that's part of the, you know, the awe, right, of her. And it's because she believed in them so much, like, they in turn, like, were like, oh my gosh, like, we love her so much, like, we respect her and know she always has the best, you know, in mind for us.
No, I mean, it's Laura, it's very evident in just interacting with you for just some minutes that that's who you are. And when you shared and you spoke and you remembered people's names, you're like, okay, who shared on Father's Day? Oh, is this? And I'm thinking in my mind, who was it that shared? And you're like pulling up. I'm like, oh man. But just the way that you called out people by name, it just shows the amount of importance that relationships have with you. So that doesn't surprise me at all, the way you just described her.
Yeah.
It's true. You're my Ohana now.
Love it.
All right. So Steph is actually about to go on a trip. We don't want to keep her for too long. So just wanted to kind of wrap up this episode with asking you, Laura, is there anything you want to leave with us behind before, you know, is there anything that you'd like our kids to prep for the retreat? Ooh, what do we have to look forward to? Yeah, just any closing thoughts? We are definitely going to have you come on the podcast again, because we definitely want to continue this relationship and not just say like, oh, after the retreat, it's done. But, you know, that's one of the things that I feel like has been so special too, is that once Steph asked you to come to the retreat, you have weekly having these meetings with her, and I just really feel like the connection that we have with you, I just want that to continue even after the retreat. So we're definitely going to call you to come back on. But in wrapping up this episode, is there anything else that you'd like to leave us with?
I think what I want to leave you with is that the kids workers and gosh, all of you, because you're going to be ministering no matter what, you know, there'll be prayer team, there'll be different people serving. You know, sometimes we putting out the water on the table or whatever it is you do, you can discount that as not as much, but that's not the truth. Mm. And so whatever you're doing, I think just prepare your hearts with the Holy Spirit in mind, because when we ask Him about what it is we're doing, who we are, the tasks that we have, when we infuse the Holy Spirit into any task, any children's curriculum, anything that we do, I mean, just you name it, and add the Holy Spirit to it. And that is where the anointing is. That's where life happens. That's where the fire gets set. You know, that's the explosion in us, so to speak, the God explosion. And so just whatever you're doing, add the Holy Spirit.
So good.
So simple, yet so profound.
Yeah. Yeah, really.
She's going to say amen.
Yeah.
and in light of honor and respect, I need to apologize for us starting late. Our previous meeting, I lost track of time and let our meeting go long. So thank you for being patient and waiting for us to call in for you.
I want to apologize also too, because I didn't make Kyle aware of what time we had told you. So
you didn't? Okay, good. Yeah, I thought you didn't. I forgot.
So it was me not communicating correctly. So I apologize too.
Well, please don't worry about that at all. Seriously, I was just worshiping and. Honestly, I was picking out worship music for the kids, playlists for every session and every encounter that we'll do. And yeah, we're going to, we're going to flood the place with worship and teach them how to worship, what worship is.
Awesome.
And,
yes.
I love the intentionality. It's so, so good.
So good.
And I just want to throw it out there to all the parents that are listening. Mm-hmm. If you haven't signed up to volunteer to help at the retreat, hopefully hearing Laura these last two on Sunday and as well on the podcast, that stokes an excitement to want to see how she does these things and what she does. So there's, I'm sure Steph is always looking for volunteers. So if you want to go back there and help.
Join us.
Yeah.
I know a few of my teachers who, you know, they don't have kids mm-hmm. in the program, but they're like, I want to come and I want to watch, mm-hmm. watch the way that Laura operates, right? How she just leads with the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. and just sets that bar and helps the kids find a way to get to it with the Lord. So yeah, I'm just so excited. There aren't words.
Yep. So thanks, Laura, for joining us. And thanks for joining us this whole weekend. It was just really a pleasure to be able to get to know you and to spend some time with you. And we are really looking forward to the retreat and getting to spend more time with you.
I'm looking forward to being back with you guys. And gosh, it was a two-way street. I received as much as I gave, if not more. So it was so great.
Good. And thanks to all the listeners out there. We always appreciate you listening. Until next time, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season.